Glenn Healy's our NHL insider, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. That was remarkable, to say the least. Glenn, it was one of those once. I don't know if anybody ever goes into a game thinking that they're going to see another team score five goals in a period. And I was kind of watching the game out of the corner of my eye while I was finishing off work at the Air Canada Center. But I kind of got the impression after it was 2-0, I'm thinking this. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be 5-0, but this first period isn't over. There's going to be a lot more goals there. Anaheim just—I mean, they just looked stunned, didn't they?
Well, when I played Edmonton in the 80s, I expected 5 in the first period.
Okay. Yeah, that was a bad period. That was with Gretzky only taking 3 shifts, for God's sake.
We would sit in between the first and second and go, it wasn't 7, and we still have our health. Yes, those are good times. You think about like 5 points for Dreisaitl. Gretzky did that 9 times in the playoffs.
I know.
My gosh.
I know. We forget. Well, it's not that we forget how good he is, but you know what? You just with Wayne Gretzky, you just go, yeah, he's the greatest. Yeah, he's the greatest. Yeah, he's the greatest. You don't even look at the numbers. But then when you look at the numbers and you do start comparing, you go, my God, I haven't seen this before. Well, yeah, actually, Wayne Gretzky did it 9 times.
9 times. Here we go. You know what? That's a pretty quiet flight home to Anaheim, I can tell you. I'm sure there's a lot of soul searching going on with that group. It was a beating, absolute thumping. And you know, hey, we tried to make it a little bit of a show where we showed, you know, the miracle on Manchester and and you know, try to make it look like it's not over yet. Stay tuned. No, it's over.
Yeah.
20 minutes, it's all it took. So it was as good a complete game as you're going to get from a team. But I agree with you. The Anaheim Ducks have got to be wondering, what do we do next?
How did that happen? Glenn, how did that happen? How does that team give up 5 goals in a period? Edmonton's got talented players. I get that. But Anaheim's been there before, for God's sake.
Jeff, if we were to grab anyone's kid and put him on the driveway and take slap shots from 40 feet with a tennis ball, I think they might have a better save percentage than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 goals on 6 shots. I mean, can you get worse? I guess 3 on 5 shots, maybe 3 on 3. But, you know, you're digging a hole right away. And, you know, there's momentum in the building, and the crowd is what the crowd is. The team is what the team is. They're young, they're brash, they're fast. They do all the things that you love to. That's why we tuned in to watch last night. McDavid's a highlight reel every shift. And it was one of those things. That just once the momentum was gone for a team, you have to stop it before you can get it back. They couldn't stop it.
Mm-hmm. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about Leon Draisaitl, and actually I remember you talking about him a little earlier in the season as well, and how this was a guy, you know, kind of keep an eye on. It was all about Connor McDavid, and that's great. But, you know, you watch him play, and Glenn, there are some guys who look like they're built for the playoffs, and my thinking is before Leon Draisaitl's career is over, this guy's going to have a ton of playoff points because he looks like he just develops an extra edge to him in the postseason.
Yeah, and it's everything you kind of want from that type of player.
Sure.
You know, at what point is he going to start playing center?
Mm-hmm.
Once he starts that, was he Joel Otto-like? Is he going to be that kind of player?
That's that's the guy I'm thinking of.
And to me, I mean, that just almost completes their team in so many different ways. But it was a player that, you know, I'd heard whispers that last year, teams were knocking on the door. Hey, would you think about Draisaitl for a trade? And, the inside answer I got from their group was not a chance. No chance. So they made their moves. The Taylor Hall, see you later. And they're probably not done with some of the younger guys yet. But that was a young guy that they were not moving on from. And you start to slide. You know, and he's still just a kid. Like, he's going to grow into that body. He's going to get stronger and faster and he's not even where he's going to be when he completes development. So good news for anyone in Edmonton that, you know, timing's everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can still recall when there was, I think, 12 or 13 picks left to go in that expansion or the draft for the lottery. And the Leafs were the number one chance to get Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
The worst was Edmonton, and Edmonton got him. Then they get a new building, and then they've got what they've got now. And now they have momentum in a series that could take them right to Final Four. That's pretty good. That's a good ascension, that's for sure.
You know, Mark Spector, in his column on Sportsnet.ca, paints his picture after the loss in Anaheim, where the Oilers players have left the ice, and Draisaitl is sitting on the bench, kind of his arms draped over the boards. Right next to him is Connor McDavid. McDavid kind of taps him on the shoulder, and you can see him say, you know, come on, let's go in. And it was funny, when I saw that shot, I'm thinking to myself, that is kind of leader, that's the leader in Connor McDavid, but that's also an indication, I think, of a guy who is ready to step up into a leadership role in his own right too, isn't it? Like, you just got the sense that two guys who were really pissed off at what had just happened.
Yeah, you know, it is funny, because what you have is, for our generation, like, we're guys in our 50s, and it's like you had to wait till you were much later to be a captain. These guys coming into the NHL, they start working with site coaches when they're 11. You know, they are prepared to play at a level of a 26 and 27-year-old, almost at 19, and that's what we see from him. He's a complete player already, a leader already, and that foundation is built when these kids are at such a young age. It's just, the game is so different today than, let's say, when I started in 85.
So what has to happen in Game 7 here for Edmonton to close this out now?
I more of the same. I mean, you look at what their success was, and it's all about speed. It's all about them kind of creating that momentum. Their forecheck exemplary. They stayed disciplined. McDavid, you think about it, he was on the power play for 7 minutes and 25 seconds last night. That you're putting that player on the ice for 7 minutes and 25 seconds on the power play, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
So that Anaheim team, you know, you take on the temperament of your coach. We've seen what Randy's like, saw him in Toronto. And so if this thing starts early for Edmonton, it can go sideways in a hurry for Anaheim. And that isn't exactly the most obnoxious building in the league to play in. So if I was to play anywhere on the road, that would be a pretty good place I'd want to play.
We'll have the Caps and Penguins Game 6 tonight on CBC and Sportsnet Ontario. Pittsburgh leads that series 3-2. They can wrap it up. Capitals won the last game, but did you see anything in that win that makes you think that this series is going to be extended?
No, I think Pittsburgh's just they're going to do their business tonight. They're going to get it done. And when they get it done, then they move on. And they're a team that we disbelieved last year, a bunch of cast-offs, more of the same this year, add more players to the group. I just think they're a better team. And it failed to get it done last game, but I think they've been there before, know how to get it done, and it will be the death nail tonight.
Sidney returning to the lineup made a difference. I mean, obviously he's going to make a difference when he's on the ice and when he's not there. But what did you think of his game after that concussion? Did you see any difference in it?
No, I just thought he was cautious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looked to be not the dominant. I'm taking the game over yet. But, you know, there's a guy who probably didn't skate for a couple days, work out for a couple days. They were very cautious with him, as they should be. And now he's had a couple days to kind of get his feet back on the ice and his confidence tonight. I would be shocked if he's not a star tonight.
The Predators wrapped up their series with St. Louis, and Nashville is going on to the conference final. I've got to tell you, an Edmonton-Nashville final would be tremendous hockey. It would be phenomenal hockey. They are, as I said, in the conference final, Glenn. Could this team win the Stanley Cup?
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know, you look at last night, the adversity in the first period, they're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible in the first period. They got through it, and the next thing you know, they started to make a difference as the game went on. They got some of their confidence back. So, yeah, they're a pretty good group. There's no question that, to me, especially with Pekka Rinne, that's a team that could get through the next round. I mean, yeah, it's jump ball, I think. Whoever gets through, it's jump ball to go to the finals, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a clear indicator of one team that's absolutely going to take charge of the series. You can't say, oh, it's this team's the dominant favorite. No. They haven't been there before. So who knows how they'll respond. But you know what? The way they respond will indicate whether they get a chance to play in a cup final. I mean, the Final Four is a great time of year. You know, you look up normally in a regular season game, you look up at the board and there's like 10 games going on. When you get to the semifinals, you're the only game in town. Nobody else is playing on that night. Everyone else is watching. It's a special time of year.
Now, I know that you've been a big fan of the Predators front office and some of the people for a long time, Paul Fenton in particular. But I look at this team, and everybody makes trades. But, man, Ryan Johansson and PK Subban, have there been two better trades made this year in terms of sort of rounding off a team and getting them to this point? I'm not certain there has been.
No, and, you know, the big thing for the Predators was this. You know, you've got $14 million tied up in Shea Weber. That's just too much money in one player with a team that is a budget team and is not, you know, is not one of those clubs that can go out and spend like the Leafs spend. The Leafs probably spent about $100 million this year. They just can't do it. So as a result, you know, you start to look at it and say to yourself, you know, pretty good trade for them in the sense that they shed some salary, that lets them do other things. They got younger. They got a little bit more swagger in their game. And it's a trade that had to happen. And they made the right ones in every way. So yeah, they draft well, they trade well. The free agent signings are pretty good. You know, you look at Forsberg for Martinet, you just think to yourself, wow, how did they make that deal? So good on them, and they're one step away from the finals.
What do you think is one of the secrets to David Poile? Does he just delegate? Does he delegate well? Has he got, you know, has he got good people around him? Because, again, you've sung this, Glenn, 3-4 years ago you were singing the praises of this front office.
Yeah, you know, a lot of it's on the shoulders of Paul Fenton, right? He's the guy who runs the draft. And, you know, just go back years ago when it was Dion Phaneuf was everybody's darling, and it's the double Dion of the World Juniors, and everyone thought that he should be taking over Ryan Suter. And, you know, it's Paul Fenton at the draft table that says, you take him and I'm done. You know, you're taking this guy. He's the better player. And they drafted the right guy, obviously. And so that's how you build it. Seven times you get to the podium every year. And if you get to the podium and you pick the right players, and we've seen it here in Toronto, boy, does your team improve in a hurry. And he's got a knack for, whether it's, you know, picking a Rene or it's picking defense, he's got a big-time knack for grabbing the right players. And that's why they are where they are, because they're not a team that's going to overspend and they don't have that Stefan Robida trapdoor that they can get rid of guys in. It just doesn't exist with their franchise.
The Senators and Rangers will get back on the ice tomorrow night with Ottawa leading 3-2. Does Guy Boucher dress Chris Neal for this game?
I wouldn't. I'd be all in for the win. Message sending's done. To me, it's just a matter of let's be businesslike. The success of their team does not lie with him. I think it was a sympathy signing to have him come back. So dress the players that you know are going to get you over the line, get this thing over the line. And you, too, can believe we're one step away from a Stanley Cup final. And we didn't have that conversation in September, that's for sure, Jeff.
Right. Do you think they dodged a bullet with Chris Neal out there?
For sure they did. You know, he's the guy who always plays on the edge and sometimes over. And we see it over a lot. We need on the edge, not over the edge. And when it comes to specialty teams and discipline, there's no bigger and better time of the year than to make sure that this doesn't happen with your group. And unfortunately, you have a better chance of it happening. You know, when you're at the blackjack table and you get to 19 and you take an extra card, yeah, you're probably going to be done your hand. So, hey, could it happen that you get to 21 at 19? Sure. But with him, taking the extra card could be dangerous.
So do you think Ottawa wraps that up, or do you think that thing's going seven? No, you do, hey?
I do, and I've been a Ranger fan of their group the entire season, but the body language to me of Lundqvist, the body language of that team and what these young guys believe in Ottawa, I'm a believer.
You know, I know that you covered this team. You did some work in games involving the Rangers, and I have to admit, I didn't realize Henrik Lundqvist could be so high maintenance. You know, there was that shot, Derek Stepan coming out, skating over to him. After he kind of had a bit of an on-ice meltdown and one of his young defensemen, you can see him sort of saying, settle down, settle down. Has he always been like that?
Well, here's what you got to look to. Go to a morning skate. And he will go to the morning skate, and he will be dressed in a full three-piece suit with some sort of a briefcase. I don't know if it's the Da Vinci Codes that's in it. I'm not sure. But I'm thinking, it's a morning skate. Like, does it have to be that perfect for you? Can you not come in a tuxedo? Can you not have your hair messed up a little bit? could you not show up like Steven Stamkos in flip-flops? I don't know. That would make sense to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what? High expectation of himself as an athlete, and he demands it of his team as well.
Glenn, we're going to let you scoot. Appreciate you doing this as always.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey. Enjoy the week.
Take care.
We'll have some answers this week.
Absolutely.
All right.